Sony of Japan struggles with the Microsoft problem, finding its way in the land of Apple and Samsung. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the global perspective on business and economics. The once mighty electronics giant Sony said today it's no longer expecting to make a profit this year. Instead, the forecast is for a $1 billion loss. And Sony said today it will sell off VAIO, its personal computer laptop business. The BBC's Rupert Wingfield Hayes joins us from Tokyo. Morning, Rupert.
Morning, David.
So first of all, maybe the end of an era for the Sony VAIO computer line. There's talk that they're going to try to find a buyer.
Well, it looks like they have found a buyer. They're going to sell to the Japanese technology group that manages businesses that are in trouble. It's not clear how much they're going to pay for it, but it's very clear that Sony is going to get rid of its troubled and loss-making PC and laptop division.
One might have thought that macroeconomics would have helped Sony a bit here. I mean, one of the big economic stories coming out of Japan, of course, is the yen floating downward and downward. In theory, that means profits from overseas should help Sony's bottom line more, but clearly it's not enough.
Sony will have benefited from increased earnings for its American divisions, things like Sony Pictures, Sony Entertainment, but it is not enough to overcome this really, really basic problem, which is that its electronics division is not able to compete against the likes of Apple, Samsung, and for its computers, against the likes of Lenovo. And I think, actually, this will be welcomed. I think a lot of people will say this is the sort of bold decision that is needed by the top management of Sony to get rid of these divisions that it's never going to be able to compete in again so that it can focus on the things that it does best.
Speaking from Tokyo, the BBC's Rupert Wingfield Hayes. Rupert, thanks.
Thanks, David.
In Washington today, the Senate will vote on a bill to extend long-term unemployment benefits for 1.7 million Americans. The proposal would exclude one group, people making incomes of over $1 million. But before you start hearing very small violins playing, Marketplace's Jeff Tyler has some nuance.
If you're a millionaire, maybe you don't need a safety net funded by taxpayers. So says Michael Strain with the American Enterprise Institute.
It is the kind of thing that I think government should be doing more of, which is saying who really needs that safety net and who doesn't.
But would the exclusion save the government money?
The millionaire's exclusion is a solution in search of a problem.
Judy Conte with the National Employment Law Project says in 2009, millionaires collected $20 million in unemployment benefits.
That was only 0.18% of the total outlay of unemployment benefits for that entire year.
Rich Hobby with the National Association of State Workforce Agencies says states would have to set up new systems to measure income.
There is an associated cost, and they wouldn't get additional money to administer this test.
So states would be forced to spend scarce resources in order to deny benefits to millionaires. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
We're keeping an eye on the stock market here. The FT 100 in London is up 0.9% at the moment. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all up as well. Here in New York today, amid the gray, slushy snowbanks, will be a crush of Lincoln Town Cars and Uber limos as Fashion Week officially begins. Fashion Week is spreading out from its fancy uptown hub, and one of the people responsible for that is Janae Lombardo, the co-founder of Made Fashion Week, which helps promote more upstart designers. Ms. Lombardo, thanks for joining us.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Fashion Week, I think once upon a time, had a focus on the most established names in that industry. Tell me originally what led to the expansion to these new outposts?
Like every industry, there's always an evolution. And, you know, the established people are always looking for something new and something different. And we just happened to identify where there was that white space to support at the time what were considered emerging designers, which are now, I think, the new guard of American fashion.
In the New York context, you can go to the Metropolitan Museum of Art or you can go to a chic gallery downtown. You guys are the more chic gallery downtown, right?
Chic, maybe not. But yeah, we're just more downtown all around.
How much of a challenge is it for up-and-coming designers to make the kind of splash that'll stand a chance of registering amid all the attention that the established fashion companies get?
I think it's becoming easier now in that a lot of this newer talent. They're all about not just creating a final product, but creating content that surrounds it. So, you know, from established designer to be a splash, perhaps the cover of a magazine, which is by no means unimportant to younger talent, the younger talent is able to really connect direct with consumers through their different social media platforms.
Isn't that interesting? Now, we hear that the designer Alexander Wang that made Help originally promote is doing his runway shows way out there in Brooklyn. Now, I know Brooklyn's the hipster paradise, but the fashion community has to get to Brooklyn to see the runway shows. How's that working out?
We all find it kind of hilarious considering the majority of us live in Brooklyn. I'm so happy and proud of Alex for making this decision. He wanted to do something in a location that really felt more like himself. He does things that are honest, and I really salute him. I think it's very cool.
Janae Lombardo, the co-founder of Made Fashion Week, thank you very, very much.
Thank you so much.
And in case you're wondering, once in a while, there is a penalty for sending junk mail. The Federal Trade Commission tracked down a marketing guy who sent out millions of emails offering free iPads, along with a declaration, you have been selected for a $1,000 gift card. Sounds like the movie Nebraska, right? People instead were whisked to a site that tried to glean personal information. While the FTC leveled a penalty of $185,000, the guy didn't have the money, so he'll pay $10,000 instead. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.